Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed that each week you take the time to listen to these messages. It is our prayer here at the Seed is that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, grow in the power of the Holy Spirit, and sow seeds of faith. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. I know that many of you may listening today may not be able to come up on a Sunday morning, but you can always join our live stream at our website. You can go to our website at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. The website is www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. You can chat. You can offer up prayers. You can worship. It's our prayer that you'll grow in grace. We're starting a series on hope. Last week, we talked about foundational hope. This week, we're going to talk about a living hope. And we have several passages of scripture to read. But before we read the scriptures, I would just like to offer a prayer. Lord Jesus, we give thanks for the hope that we have and the power of the resurrection. We give thanks for the hope that you give us each day to live our lives. We pray that as we read your word today, that your word would be alive and redemptive, that your word would shape us and mold us and fashion us to be a people of hope. In Jesus' name, amen. We have an Old Testament psalm from Psalm 71. We have the Old Testament passage from Hosea, and then we'll turn to 1 Peter. Let's listen for God's word. I always say, put yourself in the story and put the story in you. So as we read the scripture, put yourself in the story. The psalmist says, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men, for you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. That was Psalm 71, verses 1 through 8. Now turn in your Bibles to Hosea chapter 2, 14 through 17. If you don't have a Bible, we have a couple in the church that bought one-year Bibles, a whole case of them, and we're giving away the one-year Bible. If you'd like a one-year Bible, you can just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I'll get you a Bible. Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards, and I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. The opening three verses of 1 Peter give us a wonderful image of the Holy Trinity. God the Father, who knows us and chooses us. The Holy Spirit, who sanctifies us, cleanses us, prepares us, and helps us to be holy. And Jesus, who sprinkled us with his ever-cleansing blood. Today, we continue our journey to the cross and to the empty tomb, and we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for the obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling by His blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Wow, some great passages. I'd encourage you to take one passage and just pray over it. How many of you saw the images of Billy Graham's motorcycle as they brought his body the 100 miles to his final resting place when they had the funeral for Billy Graham? Listen to this quote from Billy's son, Franklin. "My father, Billy Graham, made me promise long ago that we would take him back to Charlotte after he died, and that's what we're in the process of doing right now. The outpouring of love we are seeing as we travel from Asheville to Charlotte via the motorcade with him is overwhelming. People lining the streets, the overpasses, whole families, young and old, some holding signs, some holding up their Bibles. We are so incredibly touched. My father would be humbled and honored. He would want all the glory to go to God. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts." What a picture of a living hope. Here are a few quotes from Billy Graham on hope, since we're talking about Billy Graham today. Billy Graham said, "Faith points us beyond our problems to the hope we have in Christ." He also said, "Earth's troubles fade in the light of heaven's hope." Another quote he had in a book called Hope for the Troubled Heart, he said, "Perhaps the greatest psychological, spiritual, and medical need that all people have is the need for hope." In a book called The Jesus Generation, Billy Graham wrote, "My hope does not rest in the affairs of this world. It rests in Christ who is coming again." Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. "I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. My hope is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. When we all reach the end of our earthly journey, we will all have just begun. The Bible says that as long as we are here on earth, we are strangers in a foreign land. There are our enemies to be conquered before we return home. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven." Hope, hope, hope. What does that mean? What is hope? How can we have hope in our troubling times? The prophet Hosea gives us a wonderful word picture of hope in our Old Testament reading. The prophet tells the people that God will bring them out of the desert, away from all their worldly distractions. God will bring them out of the valley of Achor, which literally means the valley of trouble. Hosea is prophesying to the people that God will bring them out of the valley of trouble and will transform their valley from a door of trouble to a door of hope. How many of us here today are in a valley of trouble? Are we resident aliens living in the edge of society? Have we been scattered or dispersed? Are we living in troubling times? Has the weight of the world collapsed on you? Has a recent medical condition brought you to your knees? Maybe you are suffering from a broken relationship with a family member, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, or a friend. You understand the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble. Is the valley of trouble your place of employment or lack of employment? Maybe your valley of trouble is school. We live in troubling times. Maybe, just maybe, this is your time of the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble. The good news, hear the good news. It's in verse 15. He says, there I will give her back her vineyards, and I will make the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble, a door of hope. The Old Testament Hebrew word that Hosea uses for hope is tikvah. Tikvah means to wait for, to look expectantly in one direction. To wait for, to look expectantly in one direction. Tikvah. In the Old Testament book of Joshua, the image of hope was a red or a scarlet cord. This image comes from the story of Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute in the city of Jericho. Rahab was a relative of Boaz. She is an ancestor of both David and Jesus. Her home was built in the city wall. Her occupation brought many visitors. One day, she harbored Israelite spies. No one thought much of it, but the spies instructed her to tie a red cord to her window so that Rahab and her family would be safe from the Israelite invasion. Go read the story in Joshua chapter 2. Hold the visual image of a red cord in your mind as an image of hope. The very valley of your trouble, God can turn into a door of hope. That's what I'm speaking about today. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know your troubles, but I know one who can take you out of the valley of trouble and bring you a door of hope. The people to whom Peter is writing his letter to are living in troubling times. Does that sound familiar? There are dispersed around the known world. For us, we would be places like, well, Rancho Cucamonga, Altaloma, Etowanda, Upland, Ontario, Claremont, Riverside, Corona, Southern California, and all around the world. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. And if you need prayer, our prayer team at The Seed loves to pray, and we've seen some wonderful answers to prayer. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, write your prayer. There's a place if you want a response. If you just need to send an email, you can always email me at PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. We're talking about being dispersed. One of the main reasons that our good friend Peter, who wrote the letter that we're reading today, was to raise the sojourners or the travelers above the world they lived in. Peter wanted to remind this people group that they were not of this world. Our good friend and mentor Peter wanted to give them a living hope and an open to them the door of hope. Wait expectantly. Look in one direction. This is the door of hope. Wait for it to open. The Greek word for hope is elpis, elpis. It's spelled L-E-L-P-I-S, but it's pronounced elpis, like peace. And it means a happy anticipation of good, a favorable and confident expectation. Today, we've lost the deep meaning of hope. Instead, it's almost like wishing. During New Testament times, hope was not just an optimistic outlook or a wishful thinking. It was the confident expectation based on solid certainty. Let me say that again. During New Testament times, hope was a confident expectation based on solid certainty. Biblical hope rests on God's promises. Biblical hope rests on God's promises. Hope is our confidence in grace's future accomplishments. What area in your life are you waiting for God's grace to accomplish God's work in your life? That's a big question, isn't it? What area in your life are you waiting for God's grace to accomplish God's work in your life? Hope is your door out of the valley of trouble. We anticipate this door opening. Billy Graham hoped beyond hope, as Paul wrote in Romans 5. Billy was hanging on to Jesus Christ, a blessed hope, a living hope. Jesus Christ was the open door in his valley of trouble. He was 99 years old when God called him home. Peter is writing to the suffering Christians of the first century. He wanted to encourage them and identify with them. The word he used for describing hope is it's quote-unquote living, and it means dynamic, vital, and alive. This hope is like a living water flowing from a perennial spring that never runs out. In the Greek language, living is a present active participle, meaning that the action of living is ongoing. It's going, it's going, it's going, and it will never stop. So this living hope will never stop. What Peter is saying is that over and over again, through God's great mercy, those who are in the valley of trouble are eternally offered a door of hope through the red cord of Christ's death and resurrection. The good news is we have a living hope. We have a living hope that we can count on over and over again. Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is now alive forever, and we have a living, ongoing hope. We can look expectantly in Christ's direction. We can anticipate with pleasure that our door of hope will open. Well, several years ago, a teacher assigned to visit children in a large city hospital received a routine call requesting that she visit a particular child. She took the boy's name and room number and was told by the teacher on the other end of the line, "We're studying nouns and adverbs in this class. I'd be grateful if you could help him with his homework so he doesn't fall behind." It wasn't until the visiting teacher got inside the boy's room that she realized he was located in the hospital's burn unit. No one had prepared her to find a young boy horribly burned and in great pain. She felt that she couldn't just turn and walk out, so she awkwardly stammered, I'm the hospital teacher, and your teacher sent me to help you with nouns and adverbs." The next morning, a nurse on the burn floor asked her, "What did you do to that boy?" Before she could finish her apologies, the nurse interrupted her. "You don't understand. We've been very worried about him. But ever since you were here yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back, responding to treatment. It's as though he's decided to live." The boy later explained he had completely given up hope until he saw the teacher. He came to a simple realization. With joyful tears, he expressed it this way: "They wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they?" The living hope kept that young boy alive. Our eldest daughter was engaged to be married. We had a church and a hall secured, down payments made. The wedding dress was hanging in the closet. It was beautiful. She was going to look like a queen. 6 months before the wedding, her fiance called the wedding off. Our daughter was crushed. She stopped eating. She got down to 100 pounds. And then one day, her youth friend was in a terrible diesel engine accident. He was in the burn unit from January until May. He and his girlfriend decided to get married. Yes, you guessed it. Our daughter had the girl stop by the house, try on the $750 dress, and gave it to her. God had turned the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble, into our daughter's Valley of Hope. The merry month of May, she was accepted into Biola's graduate program of psychology. You guessed it again. She met her husband on the first day of class. He went home and wrote a poem about the girl he was going to marry. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we've been given a living, alive, active, vital hope. If our God raised Jesus from the dead, is anything too hard for him? Let me ask that again. If our God raised Jesus from the dead, is anything too hard for God? Maybe a good so what? An inheritance kept in heaven. That's what Peter says in his letter. An inheritance kept in heaven. I was thinking of HOPE as an acronym. I like to think in those terms because it helps me to pray and remember the words. Here are a few of my attempts. I encourage you to write your own, and you could do it this way, HOPE, hold on, pray every day. Hold on, pray every day. That's what we can do when we're hoping. And I put down hang on, pray expectantly. Hang on, pray expectantly. And the last acronym was Heaven's One Promise Eternity, or Heaven's One Promise Emmanuel. A number of years ago, in a mental institution outside Boston, a young girl known as Little Annie was locked in the dungeon. The dungeon was the only place, said the doctors, for those who were hopelessly insane. In Little Annie's case, she saw no hope for her, so she was consigned to a living death in that small cage, which received little light and even less hope. About the time an elderly nurse was nearing retirement, she felt there was hope for all of God's children, so she started taking her lunch into the dungeon and eating outside Little Annie's cage. She felt perhaps she could communicate some love and hope to the little girl. In many ways, Little Annie was, well, like an animal. On occasion, she would violently attack the person who came to her cage. At other times, she would completely ignore them. When the elderly nurse started visiting her, Little Annie gave no indication that she was even aware of her presence. One day, the elderly nurse brought some brownies to the dungeon and left them outside the cage. Little Annie gave no hint she knew they were there. But when the nurse returned the next day, the brownies were gone. From that time on, the nurse would bring brownies when she made her Thursday visits. Soon after, the doctors in the institution noticed a change is taking place. After a period of time, they decided to move Little Annie upstairs. Finally, the day came when Little Annie, the hopeless case, was told she could return home. But Little Annie did not wish to leave. He chose to stay to help others. Little Annie cared for, taught, and nurtured Ellen Keller. Yes, Little Annie's name is Ann Sullivan. Think of that for a moment. An unnamed elderly nurse who is at the end of her career gave a brownie to a hopeless, caged little girl. That brownie was a lifeline, a red cord of hope. This small gesture of hope changed a young girl who went on to touch the lives of millions through her love and care for Helen Keller. So, think back through your life and remember the people who have hung a red cord of hope out for you. Think of those in your life who have helped you to build your foundation in God, our rock and our fortress. Take a moment to give thanks for those who have helped you in your journey of hope. I don't know about you, but I am eternally grateful to all those who came and left the brownie of hope next to my cage. The real so what for us today is to think of those whom God has placed in our lives. Who can we give a brownie to? Who can we hang a red cord of hope for to help them look expectantly to the future with hope? Who can we stand with? Who can we pray with, looking expectantly to the hope that is coming just behind the door or the Valley of Achor? Just beyond our Valley of Achor is a door of hope. It looks like an empty tomb, but it isn't just an empty tomb. Our door of hope is a risen Christ. One day, we will hear that Billy Graham had died. Don't you believe it? On that day, I'll be more alive than ever before. I've just changed addresses. Wow. I don't know if you have watched Billy Graham's funeral when it happened. I did, and I thought of hope, heaven's only promise, eternity. Hold on, pray expectantly. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give thanks for your hope, the hope that we have in the power of the resurrection. Be with us this day and let us be instruments of your hope. In Jesus' name we pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. God loves you. And so do I. Have a blessed week. See you next week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers, growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.